Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Sanhedrin Chaf Zayin. We are on the last word of Chaf Vav Amud Beis Itzmar. We have learned regarding an Eid Zaymim, who is a witness, a team of witnesses who have been undone, whose testimony has been overturned by another pair of witnesses who are not disputing the actual facts presented by the first team. Rather, they are disproving their testimony by discrediting the Edom themselves. How can you speak of an event that you were present, that you were present by a certain event in a certain place, a certain time, right? It couldn't be so. It couldn't be that you were there, because guess what? You were with us at that very time, at that very moment that you were alleging to have been in the other location. At that very moment, you've been with us in a totally different location. So the first pair, the first team, have been exposed as Edom Zoymim and plotters, in which case the Torah penalizes them very harshly. They get Kasher Zomam, just as they had planned on imposing on their poor victim. It turns around and is applied to them. So that same punishment, that same consequence, is applied to them. If they wanted to bring about death penalty, they get death penalty. Monetary payment, they're obligated to pay. So the question is like this. Certainly, an Eid Zaymim is possible for further offerings of testimony. That's pretty simple, because once you're an Eid Zaymim, you're established as a Rasha, and of course a Rasha doesn't qualify, right? You can't testify. But now the question is like this. Timing. Let's say they said Eidos Nisan, Chodesh Nisan, that such and such happened, such and such location, such and such time. 6 months later, they were turned into Edom Zaymim. Okay? Due to the arrival of another team of witnesses who are overturning their facts, overturning their credibility. At what point do they become puzzle? Is it going forward from Tishrei onward, which is when the next pair came and discredited them? Or is it retroactive back to when they offered their testimony, because it's been discovered that their initial testimony back in Chodesh Nisan was false? Interesting question. Eid Zoymim, Abaye Amar Lafreyahu Nifsal. We go back in time. They are considered puzzle way back from Nisan, and anything that they tried to do from then, any testimony, any litigation that they were involved in, from that point onward, is null and void. The Rav Amar no, Mekano Laba Nifsal. Their status only changes going forward from Tishrei, explains the Gemara. What are the considerations here? Abaye Amar Lemafreyahu Nifsal. Logic dictates that it goes backwards. Meidna Dahasid. Right? Because when does he become a Rasha? Rasha who? Only, already back from when he gave that Eidus. I mean, it's only been discovered now. We only realize now that he was a Rasha from Nisan. Rasha Hu Vatayr Amra Altashes Yadchaim Rasha. Don't give a hand to a Rasha. Altashes Rasha. Don't accept a Rasha as a witness. So he's puzzle retroactive to Nisan. Rav Amar Mikano Labo Nifsal, it's only going forward from Tishrei, from when he became an Eid Zaymim. Because the whole idea of an Eid Zaymim is really an anomaly. It's something really unusual, chidushu. Why? Because after all, it's really two against two. It's my word against yours. You say you were there, I say you weren't. Who says we believe the second pair over the first pair? That's a special chidush of the Torah. Chidushu, my chazas, what makes you think, what makes you say the Samchas Ahani, that we rely on the second pair and discredit the first pair? Perhaps go the other way, Smaich Ahani, believe the first pair. So, although we do follow through and we make them Edom Zaymim, because that's what the Torah tells us to do, but interesting concept. We can't just stretch it and extend it back. It's only activated. This idea is only triggered from now going forward, from when they became discredited. There's another version of this of the reason, of the logic behind Ravas limiting their status change to from today forward. The truth is that Rava really theoretically holds like Abaye, that logic would indicate that they are apostle way back from Nisan. Umatam ka'amar mekana labo. So why then does Rav insist that it's only going forward? It's a special takana de rabbanon to protect buyers, you know, property buyers who may have used these very edim, unsuspectingly, these very edim, as signees on their shtar, not knowing that they're really, you know, discredited people, people that aren't, you know, men of integrity. It's only been revealed later. So anything that occurred from Nisan to Tishrei, right, will end up becoming null and void if you nullify them, if you discredit them retroactively. So the special takana de rabbanon, so at least when it comes to, Taisus explains, at least when it comes to monetary issues that they have signed on, we're concerned that people are going to have a loss, so we sort of we allow them to maintain their status. We retain their kashrus until today. So there are two reasons to explain Rava. Either it's because the whole idea is a chiddush and we can only have it from the moment onward, or because of pseidel lekuchos to protect people who may have relied on these witnesses to serve them in a shtar. Might be not any difference between the two approaches. Any situation where one would apply and the other one wouldn't, it could be not. There's a big difference between the two cases, between the two approaches. For instance, so two examples. Dasidu beitrei bechad. You see, Rava's point is, it's two against two. The whole idea is just a chiddush, it's something unusual. You can't just apply it retroactively, you know, can't freely extend it. It's you know, as is, right? But that's when it's two against two. Suppose it's not two against two, it's two against one and two against one. So Reuven and Shimon testified about something, right? Comes Levi and Yehuda and undoes Reuven's testimony. Makes him an Eid Zoyman. Comes Yisachar and Zvulun, undoes and undoes Shimon's testimony. So it's two against one. It's not two against two. So in this case, logic would dictate that it makes sense to accept the second pair over the individual. Right? Two against one. So it's not a chiddush. So in this case, we can allow ourselves to extend it back to Nisan and make him an Eid Zoyman retroactively. Inami, another example. So hold it. So here, you would extend it back to Nisan, right? Even Rabbah would agree to Abaye. But that's only if Rabbah is based on the idea of the Chiddush, which in this case, of course, we say it's not a Chiddush, so we sort of conform with Abaye. But if the point is Pseidat Lekuches, to protect people who may have utilized these Edom for their services, so even in this case, when it's two against one, we still have that same consideration. We don't want to nullify them retroactively. Okay, that's one thing. Inami, another example would be another situation where one approach would apply and the other one wouldn't. One reason would apply and the other one wouldn't. Inami de paslinu begazlanusa. Say the second pair comes and discredits the first pair, but not because of location issues. Not because of, my word against your word. You know what? We believe you. You were there at that time, witnessing that scene. But actually, Your Honor, Bezdin, right? Your Honors, these people are robbers. They're gone off them. They're puzzled. So they're being undone by sort of an external piece of information, external factor. It's not like my word against yours. You're saying you were there, I say you weren't. That's a chiddush. That can only work with Kanan Labba. But if they're turning them into Gazlan, then of course the second pair should be believed. In this case, it's not a chiddush. In this case, even Rav would agree, they are apostle lima freya. Amar Rav Yirmiyah medifti. So he related that Avad Rav Papi Uvd Rav Papa actually implemented an halacha. How did he paskin? Can we say the Rava? Like Rava. That it's going forward. Mar Baravashi Amar no. Hilchasa. Can we say the Abaye? We adopt Abaye's approach. That it's retroactive. Vilchasa, and the Gemara concludes, Kavaseh de Abaye, B'yal Kagam. In six places throughout Shas. The second one is the Ayin, which is Eid Zayim, we pass on like Abaye, El Mafreya Hoim, Uhu Nifso. Here comes another issue. Mumar, Oichel Nevelos Atiyovim. So in the Mishnah we learned that there are several individuals that are not to be trusted regarding saying Eidus, regarding being a Dayan, because we see they're swayed by money, basically, right? They can be bought off with money, in which case, you know, they can easily be hired to present false testimony or bribed to judge falsely. So any violation, any halachic violation which pertains to monetary gain, you can't trust this fellow, because you see, he won't hesitate to violate, to transgress an isser, a halacha, in exchange for monetary gain. So if you have a mumar, a person who habitually oichel neveilus l'tayav, and he eats non-kosher meat, because, you know, he profits from it, he gains from it. Meaning he likes the meat, and he has some monetary gain involved, because it's cheaper. Right? So a neveilus is more common, it's more easily purchased, and it's cheaper than kosher meat. In this case, he's certainly not trustworthy when it comes to the court system, because look, for a couple of pennies, he's willing to transgress an isser and eat non-kosher. Divrei HaKol all agree. Abaye and Rabbi both agree. Pasul, he's disqualified for serving in the Bezdin, for testifying in the Bezdin. But what about if he's poor guy, it's non-kosher, but it's lahachas. He's not gaining much from it. He's doing it just in spite, because he wants to eat non-kosher. Right? So the first fellow is doing it because he enjoyed it. This fellow here is doing it just to violate the halacha, in spite. So it's an attitude issue, right? So we assume it's not because of monetary gain. And now the question is, what about his status? If it's not a monetary related violation, is he puzzle for Eidos? Puzzle for Dayanus? Abaye Amar puzzle. Yeah, he's puzzle. Tavali Rasha. He's the epitome of a Rasha, transgressing Averis willingly. Rahman Amar, the Pasuk says, a Rasha out, a Rasha gone. Al Tashas Rasha Eid, which means don't accept a Rasha for an Eid. Rava Amakasha. Rava says, no, he's fine. For Eidos. Rasha de Chamas Bainan. The Torah mentions the words Chamas. Right? Stealing, being dishonest in business. It's a monetary issue. But this fellow who's doing Lahachis, although he's not the biggest Yerushamayim, to say the least, but he's not possible for Eidos. The whole point is that he can be paid off. Right? We see that he's drawn after money, he can be easily paid off, but in this case, you don't have evidence of that, right? Rasha the Chamas Bainan. Meisve, here comes a kash on Rav. Altashes Rasha Eid. It's a brisa, right? Altashes Rasha Eid. Altashes Chamas Eid. So you can't have a Rasha serve, and you can't have a robber, a thief. And the brisa explains, Eilu Gazlonin, Umay Alam Bishvois. It covers people who steal, it covers people who transgress Shvois, who are uncareful with oaths. Now, when it says shvuois, that's plural, many types. My level will assume echad shvua shav, whether he's just swearing, you know, for naught. Sky is blue, it's really red, it's really red, it's really blue. He's just disregarding shvua without any monetary, you know, profiteering involved. Echad shvua smamin, or he's swearing to absolve himself from any monetary claim. So clearly, the brisa covers both aspects. Monetary violations and ordinary violations. And they're both puzzle. Loi! Idiv idi shvuas mami, no. Well, the Brisa speaks about plural in terms of shvua, different types of shvua is mami, umay shvua is shvua is da'alma. Even though it says it lashon rabba, it means to say, you know, the oath that people out there will swear regarding monetary issues, and once again it involves money, so that explains why it's puzzle. Meisve, comes another kasha, an abaye this time. Altashes Rasha Eid, Altashes Chamas Eid. That's the introduction. Who is covered in this list? Eilu Gazlon Malvi Ribiyos. People steal, people lend with interest. Only monetary violations. Otherwise, you're not possible. Tiyufta Dabai, Tiyufta. That's a refutation of Abai who says any violations are included. Nemek Tanoi, perhaps our discussion relates to another machlekes between Tanoim. Says the Brice, Eid Zoymim Pasal Chalatera Kula. Divir Amir. Ramirez says, once an Eid has been proven to be an Eid Zoymim, a plotter is Pasal for every type of testimony, whether it pertains to monetary issues or capital punishment. He is excluded from the process. Rabbi Yisrael Wald held it. Not so quick. You don't automatically become disqualified just because, you know, you did a lower level crime doesn't necessarily disqualify you from something more serious and more weighty, which perhaps you would take more seriously, right? We have no indication that he's puzzled for everything. Rabbi Yisrael Wald, when do we say you cannot accept this fellow's testimony at all? He was involved in a capital punishment case, and he turned out to be an Eid Zoymim. This fellow had no compunction about bringing about death to somebody, which is a very severe thing. So he's suspected of really severe violations. Then, of course, he's not to be trusted on anything, even monetary issues. But let's say it turned out to be a falsifier in terms of monetary issues. Bad enough, but still, kashal dini nefashes. When it comes to monetary, capital punishment cases, that's more serious, more severe, he can still qualify for that. So again, according to Rav Meir, Eid Zoymim for one thing, out, gone. Rabbi Yossi says, something more severe covers something lighter, but not the other way around. How does that connect to our discussion between Abaye and Rav? So again, Abaye said, that even if a person eats a nevela, right, which is sort of a shemayim deficiency, a spiritual deficiency. It doesn't involve, hurting a fellow person. It's not bin el machaver, it's bin el shemayim, right? Still, Abaye says, don't listen to this fellow. Even when he walks into the bezin to discuss a monetary issue, to present edus on a monetary dispute, where theoretically, you can say it's more severe because he's going to be hurting a person. If he falsifies, the facts in a din Torah, cause somebody to pay money unnecessarily, whatever. Still, Abaye says he's possible. So even though he was only guilty of a lighter offense, we disqualify him from everything. So name Abaye Kramir. Abaye holds like Kramir. That if you're possible for one thing, you're gone. The Rabbi, however, who says no, not so quick. Just because you're eating nevela doesn't mean you'll testify falsely. He's going to Rabbi Yosi, who says that it's not one size fits all, right? Depends what you did. You're only suspected of something which is commensurate with your violation. Abaye Rabbi, the one explains it. Abaye will be in line with Rabbi, the Amar Amrinan Mikula Chumra, who says that even if you're guilty of a lighter offense, you're totally washed out, even on a more serious issue. The Rabbi goes like Rabbi Yosi, the Amar who says, no. There are different levels of guilt. Different madrigas. The Amar Mechumr, the Kulam Rinan. Yeah, if you're guilty of a more severe offense, of falsifying a capital punishment, Eidus, then no, we can't accept you even on a, certainly even on a lighter issue, a Dine Mamanis. Amrinan. But going the other way, we don't say. We don't say just because you are dishonest in monetary litigations, you'll go ahead and do the same in capital punishment cases. No. So that fits with Rava, who says just because you're eating in a veil doesn't mean you're going to falsify testimony in a din Torah where it's going to potentially hurt people as well. So perhaps Abaye and Rava will match up with Rabbi and Rabbi Yosi, which is something we try to avoid. Says the Gemara, right, we try to avoid having a machlekes amoraim match up with tanoim, because remember my Rebbe taught us, because the end result will be that one amora is opposing the other tana, and amora can't oppose the tana. Okay, in any case, however you learn, the Gemara responds by saying, no, not so quick, loy. The names aren't necessarily lined up so perfectly. There's no discussion between Abaye and Rava regarding Rabbi Yosi's opinion. Because Rabbi Yosi says that if he's guilty of falsifying dinei nefashos, where it involves b'nei l'shamayim, it also involves b'nei l'chaveiro, right? Still, Rabbi Yosi says he's not possible for dinei nefashos. So as Rashi explains, certainly Abaye cannot work with that, because Abaye holds, even if he had a non-kosher piece of meat, where the offense is very minimal, so to speak, it's personal between him and Hashem, he becomes possible for everything. So certainly Abaye will not work with Rabbi Yossi, no question. The question is according to Rav Meir. Abaye could Rav Meir. Abaye will say, okay, I'm going like Rav Meir, that even when one is guilty of a lighter offense, when it's been discovered that he falsifies any testimony, he's written off for everything. Same thing with eating nevela, he's written off for everything. But Rava will say, hold it. Rava, ad kan loikam Rav Meir hasam. Perhaps I could also fall in line with Rav Meir, because only over there, where he falsified in Dine Mamanus, Hasam Elagabit Eid Zaimim, the Mamai, the Rala Shemaim Rabla Brias. Big difference. You see, Rameer speaking where an Eid has been discovered to be an Eid Zaimim in Dine Mamanus, which really has a double element, double aspect to it. It's bad to Hashem, so to speak, and bad to your fellow Jew. Has a double, you know, consequence. So perhaps over there, Rameer says, you know what? If he's so bad, he's engaged in a double offense as severe as this, he's written off for everything. For all, litigations, even Dine Nefashos. But here, by eating a steak, Avalancha, the Rav L'Shamayim, just between him and Hashem, he's not Briyais, he's not hurting anybody else. Lois, so perhaps in this case, it's different. And he's not disqualified for all Eduyos. But the Gemara comes out, V'hilchazak v'seid Abayu, passing like Abaye, that if he's eating the veil, it's even lahachis, he's a rasha and puzzle for edus. What do you mean? A minute ago we had a kasha on Abaye from that brisa, and we seem to have refuted Abaye's shita. Oh, now we have a new name, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that we stagger things in stages. It's about levels of severity. So now we can say, ahi Rabbi Yossi, that brisa, which indicated that there are different compartments, different categories of violation, that's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi. And, Rashi says, Yichido. It's an individual, opinion, and Abaye will not follow that opinion. So you can't ask from that to Abaye. What do you mean? Suppose it is Rabbi Yossi. Okay, but we pass on Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Meir, which is our equation here, right? Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, whenever we have those two in dispute, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. So we have to adopt that shita, which is inconsistent with Abaye. No, Shani Hosam the Sosam Montana Krab Meir. Actually, in this concept, in this topic, we find that there is a stam, an anonymous Mishnah that Rabbi Hakadosh recorded in line with Rabbi Meir's Shita, which indicates to us that that is the accepted halacha. Right? So that will work with Abaye. Veicha Sosam Montana. Where do we find this Stam Mishnah like Rameir? So first comes the whole story, and then at the very end, we're going to get back to this point and discover a Mishnah which is in line with Rameir and Abaye. Ki ha'ad bar Chama, there was a fellow bar Chama, katal nafshi, killed somebody. Amar Rish Gusel, Rav Ada bar Yaakov, Rish Gusel, the head of the community, told Rav Ada bar Yaakov, go investigate the matter. Paik ayimbo, ivada katal. Turns out that he killed somebody, for sure. Right, if you confirm it, l'chuy le'ine, we can't kill him today. But the Rashi says, Bezdin has the ability to punish severely, very severely. So we'll remove his eyes. There's another pshat, take away his money. A third pshat, we'll put him in chayrim. Either way, we'll take care of it. Also, Trey Sadi, sure enough, two edim show up, asidu beid avad katal, and they confirm that he killed somebody. Azaliu, so Bar Chama himself went and found two more edim. And these two Edom testified against one of the first team. And they said, Chadamar, one said, Kamay didi ganav. I saw this fellow steal, and therefore he's puzzled Edom. He can't testify regarding Rav Chama's crime. Bar Chama's crime. Kamay didi ganav kaba de chushla. I saw him stealing a kav of peeled barley. He's a ganav. Chadamar, the other one said, "Come, I did the ganav. Cut the bird to you. I saw him stealing the." The other one said, "I saw him stealing a handle of a spear." So now they're discredited in terms of monetary violations. They're liable to steal, they're liable to be paid off, they're liable, right? So that's it. They're out of the bezin, they're disqualified, discredited. They can't testify against me regarding my murder. Amalei Soa, Rav Abba turned to Bar Chama, who was all excited about his fine. My daita, what are you thinking? What's your thought process? Just because you disqualified them regarding monetary issues, but they were speaking about capital issues, serious issues. Oh, Kermeir, you're going with Kermeir, who says that any sort of Eid Zayman becomes possible for anything. Rameh Rabbi Yesi, look at Rabbi Yesi. It's a machlekes between Rameh and Rabbi Yesi. And Rabbi Yesi is one we pass him like. Rabbi Yesi, Omar, Rabbi Yesi already told us. We stagger it. If you're guilty of a lighter offense, such as stealing, it's relatively lighter, right? Compared to falsification and dinin nefashis, right? Bringing about a person's death unjustifiably. So Rabbi Yesi says, we can still accept his word regarding Dina Nefashis. So these Eidim are testifying against you, testifying that you murdered, are still acceptable. Amar Lei, Rapapi came in sort of to defend Bar Chama. Hold it. Hani Mila Echad Leisasim Lantanik Rav Meir. This sort of formula that we follow Rav Yesi as opposed to Rav Meir, that's only when we don't have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir. But in this case, Sasam Lantanak Rav Meir, we find a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir, so we have to follow Rav Meir and discredit these Eidim. Where is the Stam Mishnah? Meicha Sasam Lantanak Rav Meir. Where do we find the Stam Mishnah? Ilayim Amadasnan. Is it from the Mishnah? Which says, Kalaroi Lada Dinin Nefashis. A formula. An individual who's suitable for dinin nefashis, who can test, who can judge, who can participate in a dinin nefashis case, roi li din dinin mamnis. He's automatically assumed to be okay for dinin mamnis as well. If you're good for the higher level, you're certainly good for the lower level. Now, the Gemara at this point is assuming it's a fellow who is a chashad, suspected of wrongdoing, and there are different levels, different madrigas. So if you're good for dinin nefashis, you're certainly good for dinin mamnis. Mami, whose shita is reflected in this Mishnah? Let's take it step by step. Ilim Rabbi Yesi, can this be Rabbi Yesi speaking? It would be untrue to say that if you're good for dinin nefashis, you're automatically assumed to be good for dinin mamnis. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a case. Ha'ika eid zayimim de mamnis. What about an eid zayimim who was discredited due to falsification of testimony in a monetary issue? The kashal dinei nefashis, according to Rabbi Yesi, is still qualified for more severe cases, upasul dinei mamnis, but he can't be involved in dinei mamnis. And the Mishnah just said, if you're good for nefashis, you're good for mamnis. That won't work. Clearly, it's not Rabbi Yesi speaking. Elavra Meiri. Apparently, this Mishnah reflects Rabbi Meir Shita. That's all or nothing. If you're good for one, you're good for the other one. There you go. Says the Gemara, no. How do you know we're speaking about disqualifying people based on falsifications and trustworthiness issues? Maybe we're speaking about lineage issues, family issues. Rashi explains. For instance, a ger, a mamzer, who are allowed to judge in dinei mamnis, but they're pasul on dinei nefashis, we're going to see later in the Masechta. Because being a dayan in dinei nefashis has a higher standard, a higher bar. So that's all the Mishnah is speaking about. Who's qualified to serve as a judge in one case or the other, in dinei mamnis or dinei nefashis? And the Mishnah is just saying, look, if you're good for dinei nefashis, which has higher standards, you're certainly qualified to serve as a dayan in dinei mamnis. That's all. Unrelated to the case of the chashad and unrelated to our discussion. Because if you're not going to agree with me, rather you're going to insist that we're speaking about a chashud, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah Sefer, the Ketani, where it says, Yesh roi lada in dinei mamnis, but in some cases a person is qualified for dinei mamnis, vein roi lada in dinei nefashis, but not for dinei nefashis. Am I any roi? How could that be? That is not good for dinei nefashis. did some Dinin Nefashos. Oh, because he was discovered to be a falsifier in terms of Dinin Nefashos. So he was guilty of a very severe falsification. Royal Dinin Mamonos, how can you say he's royal on Dinin Mamonos? He's good for Dinin Mamonos. In this case, all agree. If you're guilty of the most severe, you're certainly disqualified for everything. But the Rakel Basalu. Apparently, the Mishnah is not speaking about this type of context at all. El of Apostle Yechs and Kobe speaking about lineages and kashrus of family, unrelated to our discussion. Hachanami, likewise in the first part of the Mishnah, Psal Yechsen, it's going on Psal Yechsen. Bottom line, we have no Mishnah which even speaks about our discussion. Ela hacha kasasam lantana. Rather, it's a Mishnah we just had over here, very recently, where it seems that the Stam Mishnah is in line with Rameir's approach. It's not an Elohim Apsulim, right? The following individuals are apostle. To say Edus, to be a Dayan, Elohim Apsulim, Amsache Bekuvi, Mavir Ribis, right? All these individuals who are guilty of violating for profit, Amsache Bekuvi, a gambler, Mavir Ribis, lends with interest, Mavicha Yainim, a bird gambler, Secher Shvius, right? Avadim. So actually, it's a Mishnah by us on Chabdal, but it's also the word Avadim is not by us, that's found in Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. So all these fellows are apostles. Zakla. Let's follow the following formula. Kol edus she'ena ishak sherela, af hein ein sherela. Any formal official testimony which an isha cannot offer, she's not kosher for that. So these individuals are of the same status and not kosher as well. End of quote. Mani, who's speaking in this mission? Whose shita is it following? Even Rabbi Yasi. Is it Rabbi Yasi's shita? Well, it won't work. Because va'ika edus bedin nefashis. Look, all these people are guilty of violations which relate to monetary profiteering, right? Loaning with interest, etc. So they're possible for dinim mamnas, lest they get, you know, sidetracked by monetary desires, monetary pitfalls. But they're still okay for dinim nefashis. I mean, they wouldn't dare go and falsify Edus and Edin in Nefashis context, right? But you can Edus Bidin Nefashis Shein, Aisha Kerala, but a woman is not kosher for that. She's not a proper aid. But these individuals that we just mentioned, Bank Sharon, they're okay for that. And the Mishnah puts them all together. Apparently, it's not going on Rabbi's track. El Lav Rameir. Apparently, we're going to Rameir. It's a Stam Mishnah. That's all or nothing. Either you're apostle for everything or kosher for everything. Back to our story. Bar Chama was considered guilty by these Edim. Guilty of murder. The next pair came along and discredited the first aide by saying, well, he's a robber. He's a Gazlan. He's an honest man. Going to Rameir, and that's how we paskin, seemingly. Going to Rameir, he passed up for one thing, he passed up for everything. And therefore, he can no longer offer his facts and his testimony regarding Bar Chama's murder case. Bar Chama was so excited by this twist of events. Come, Bar Chama. He excitedly jumped up, Nashke Akari, he kissed Rapapi's legs, because Rapapi saved the day. He discredited the Edom, Vekibli Lekarge Dekulishne, and Barachama committed to pay all of Rapapi's taxes for the rest of his life. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have the Aloch of Eid Zaymim, Lamafreya, Lamkana Labba. We have two reasons for Lamkana Labba, and two Nafkaminas. A person's choshet to eat nevelo te'oven, he's certainly a puzzle for everything. What about lahachis? So, yeah, we seem to paskin that it's a disqualification for everything. We paskin now it's not clear because. So Machlekes Abaye v'Rava, and the Gemara had a Tiyuf to the Abaye. Then the Gemara wanted to pair it up with another Machlekes, which took us into a whole new discussion regarding an Eid Zaymim guilty of a lighter offense. We assume he's liable to be guilty of a more serious offense, and we paskin that he is, and he's possible, completely possible. We speak so much about relatives, right? Being possible to serve in a bezdin. Or offer testimony. Okay, let's have a list. Finally, let's get a list of relatives who fit that bill. A long list. Achiv, person's brothers. Achiv, his brother, v'achi aviv, and his father's brother, his uncle, achi imoy, mother's brother, v'alachoyse. husband of his sister, so it's brother-in-law. Ubalachais aviv, husband of the mother's sister, so it's an uncle. Ubalachais imay, mother of his, the husband of his mother's sister. Ubal imay, the husband of his mother, his stepfather. Vachamiv, his father-in-law, v'gisay, and his brother-in-law, so it's the husband of his wife's sister. Hein, so it covers these individuals themselves, ubnei, and their children, right, their sons, v'chasnein, and their son-in-laws. All these are covered by this list. V'chargoi levade, there's one exception. Chargoi is his stepson, his wife's son. So there's no edus there, but it's limited to that person himself. But the Chayrig has a son, that's too far removed, that's not considered too close to home, he's kosher. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Zomishas and Rabbi Akiva. This comprehensive list was presented by Rabbi Akiva, covers all these relatives. A Mishnah Rishayna, but in the old days, the initial version of the Mishnah limited the list to very few people. Only those who are close enough to inherit from each other. That's the way it was. Doidoy, Ben Doidoy, his father's brother, father, brother's son, and this is an example. We'll call a Roy Liosha, anybody who's from his father's family, only from his father's side, who can have Yerusha interaction, they're considered pasul. Continues the Mishnah. V'chol ha'karev le'bayis ha'shah. What about timing? Let's say they were relatives at the time of the event, when the event took place, but then they became non-relatives. Because you see, basically the Mishnah could be split into three sections. Three types of relatives. Mother's side, father's side, and those through marriage. So let's say there was a change in the family arrangement, family structure. Marriage terminated, somebody died, and that sort of disconnected these people. Hayakarev Vinis Rachik, he was a karev at the time when he witnessed the event that he wants to testify about, but now he's no longer a relative. How is a kosher? That's okay. So let's say we have a son-in-law who wants to help his father, wants to supply his father-in-law with testimony. And the father-in-law's daughter, this guy's wife, died. But he's still somewhat connected because there are children. And he has children from this wife. He's still connected to the family and to his father-in-law. He's a karev, he's considered a karev and disqualified. What about a good friend, ha'ayev? Or an enemy, v'asayne? So this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. But these are also individuals are puzzled to say Eidus, because they're afraid that he'll be swayed one way or the other. To or against the person, right? Oyev, so what constitutes a Oyev? Not just an acquaintance that says good morning. A good friend, Shushvinay. A Shushvin is a fellow who is heavily involved in helping his friend get married, arranging his wedding. So during that period, he's called a Shushvin, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's puzzle Eidus. Because he has an affinity and a closeness to him. How do you quantify a soinei? To the extent that he didn't speak to him for 3 days because of his animosity. Amar lo, the Chachamim disagreed on these last two things. Lo, Yisrael akach. Kal Yisrael is not suspected of saying Eidus Sheker due to feelings of Ava and Sina, and they're not meant to be on the list. Menon emili. Where's the source that a karev is pasul Eidus? Tanur Rabbanim, we have a pasuk in Dvarim, lo yumsu avos albanim. Parents, fathers will not die because of their children. Matamalim, what does this mean? Im lamit, to teach us. Shalom yumsu avos ba'avoyim banim, to teach us that a father will never be held accountable, will not be punished, will not die as a result of his son's sin. Ubanim ba'avoyim avos. And the condition of the pasuk is that the children will not be held accountable for his father's sins. Is that the point of this pasuk? For that we have another pasuk. Harikvar Namar, it says, Ish b'chata yumasu. A person is accountable only for himself. Which is actually the second part of that pasuk. So why the repetition? Ella, apparently, it's informing us of the idea of a karev being pasul eidus. Ella lo yumsu always albana means an av could never be found guilty and be put to death be'edus banam due to the testimony presented by his own sons. Ubanam lo yumsal avos means a father cannot testify for or against his son. Be'edus avos. Ubanam lo yimsal avis means be'edus avis. The father's testimony cannot affect the son. Really? Says the Gemara. So you're saying ubanam ba'avoin avis loy? A child will never be held accountable for his father's misdeeds. V'aksiv ve'av pasuk pa'ikid avoin avis albanam. Hashem will apply the avarice of parents to the kids. That's not standard procedure. That's only when they carry on their parents' errant ways. Hasam kishayich and maaseh v'sein b'yadim. They continue their parents' bad tradition then. Hashem, Rashi says, Nifroin men, Vavoin Aveseim, they get punished for themselves and those who cause them to do it. Because it's sort of one continuum. Kedesani, as we have a Brice, Vavoinus, Avoisam, Itam Yimaku, they'll suffer for their parents' sins. That's only Kshoyfsam Asa Aveseim, Bidim, when they continue their parents' bad ways. Ato Omer, you're suggesting it's only there. Kshoyfsam Ayenoi, Elo, Kshoyfsam, maybe it applies in all cases, even though they're not continuing their ways. Perhaps the children will have to suffer their parents' wrath. Kshoyim ish bechati yimasu, Torah stipulates, no, every person is responsible only for himself. What does that tell us? You can't. You can't suffer on account of somebody else. Unless, harei kshoyich samasi avisem yedein, apparently the other pasuk which says you do, there is an element of carryover. It's only because he's carrying over their bad tradition. Veloy, really? Again, a person is only responsible for himself? A person will stumble on account of his brother. What does that mean? Reuben is accountable for Shimon's sins. Melamed, we learn Shekulan, Areven, Zebezeh, all of our nation are mixed with each other, are responsible for each other. Apparently, there is collective responsibility. Well, says the Gemara Hasam, that's only limited to Shahaya b'yadam limchais v'lamichu. Only when a person is responsible, because he failed to stop, he failed to prevent his friend, his fellow Jew, from transgressing. He could have been meicha, he could have objected, he could have protested, and he failed to do so. He was unconcerned. In that case, he's partially responsible. But otherwise, every man for himself. Okay, we continue with Hashem tomorrow. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.